Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Back again.
Welcome back.
Music unapologetically.
So glad to have you with us.
Yeah. I'm your host, Adam.
I'm Travis.
Co-host.
Love being here.
Yeah, we do. Man.
I'm like your co-pilot.
Yeah.
Flying through the music of our lives.
Yeah. I like the way you just did that, man. And I like that you didn't wear a hat. You got your hair going. I didn't put my hair up for that reason.
Freshly washed.
Oh, yeah. Mine is not freshly washed, but I did wash it this morning.
That day three hair.
Yeah.
When you get, our long haired folks.
Yo.
Day three when the natural oil.
Yeah. And when the natural oils are kicking it. Man, I gotta change this up.
Should have worn it up.
Anyways, welcome back. Let's go ahead and, is that on? I feel like it's on. Yeah, that sure is on. Let's turn that baby off. Oh, that's much better.
I can hear you.
Oh, I can hear you without an echo now. All right, so.
You don't want to hear two of me?
I mean, I don't want to hear two of me. Two of you is fine. Two of me is not fine.
Our listeners would be four of both of us, and that's. We're trying to get them to subscribe and like.
Right. Yeah. Do that. Like, subscribe, and share. Yeah. Good job. Let's just get a playlist going. This playlist has literally nothing to do with what we're going to talk about tonight. So, it's just a chill.
Just brings you into
the... Yeah. Just a chill, lo-fi type, relaxing
music. I'm glad
music.
You brought up lo-fi.
Okay.
I've been on a lo-fi kick for a few months now.
Yeah.
Came across a lo-fi hip-hop when we were going through our... Just like this.
Right.
And I feel like I'm going to sound old here, but like my girlfriend and I like to play like cards.
Okay.
I work... So much, so does she. So, like at night, sometimes you just have dinner, sit down, play rummy or gin, whatever. And so we like to play some music, and we found this lo-fi hip hop, and I was like, "Why does that song sound so familiar?" It was lo-fi versions of '90s hip hop.
Oh, nice!
And I've been on this lo-fi kick.
Yeah.
And there's shout out to the YouTube channel Lo-Fi Fruit.
Fruit.
Lo-Fi Fruit. They have 2 hour long straight through sets.
Yeah.
With no commercial break that plays like current stuff. They have a hip hop station. I mean, and it's on Spotify, it's on Apple Music, it's on YouTube. We have nothing to do with these folks, but I played 2 hours worth of lo-fi stuff in the office the other day, and I had every patient was like, I know that. So what song? They're great. Lo-Fi Fruit.
Lo-Fi Fruit. I wonder if this music is going through right now. I guess we'll find out.
I hope for our listeners' sake it is, man. It's good stuff.
Yeah, it is good stuff. Anyways, like I said, this music has nothing to do with what we're talking about. You texted me the other day talking about, hey, man, let's talk about generational music. 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. Mm-hmm. Now we're getting into the 2020s. Let me just preface this
Hardly
show.
Music at that point.
Exactly. That's exactly kind of where I was going. Let me preface this whole show, and this is my opinion. It's not necessarily your opinion. I grew up in the 90s. Mm-hmm. Music died in the early 2000s.
Agreed.
Like dead.
And we talked about my thoughts on Nelly.
Right.
Early
2000s. Killed hip-hop.
Dixie Chicks, now the Chicks.
Yeah.
Killed country.
Country was never alive for me.
That's fair enough.
You know what I mean?
But yeah, I agree. The 90s was the last solid decade of really good, across like all genres.
Right.
That idea, I was listening to, I sent you the video of Michael McDonald and the Doobie Brothers singing What a Fool Believes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, man, like we had the nostalgia episode.
Right.
And I'm thinking about my dad. I text my dad the same video. And as I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, what a good era of music.
Right.
And I'm like, what about other? There's every decade.
Every decade has some good stuff.
Yeah.
With the and I'll say this, music's not necessarily dead, but it's on life support. And the only reason it is on life support is because you have the bands and the groups and the hip hop artists or whatever that we grew up with. The old heads, as you know, these new cats would call them, the old heads still making music and kind of, you know, and it's not the great stuff that they came up with in the 90s and early 2000s and 80s or whatever, you know what I mean? Like Method Man.
Yeah.
He's still coming out with stuff, and it's still fire, but it's not Wu-Tang Method Man type stuff. But it's keeping that music just with a faint heartbeat.
Well, the other thing, too, is a lot of the collabs, which I find a lot of funny in it, you know, a lot of humor. Like when Ozzy and Post Malone...
Yeah.
Did their little thing, and people were like, oh, that's so kind of Post to put, you know, put Ozzy on the map like that.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you also see a lot of the sampling.
Right.
Like, sampling's, there's more samples nowadays than I think anybody realizes.
Right.
I mean, there are entire social media channels that all they do is, like, show songs that are good that are samples from however long ago.
It's wild to me because I started watching that, I started watching it again, that hip-hop Revolution that we've spoke on a couple times, and there's that one episode about all the producers who are in the bottom of that hotel room going through flipping through albums and you know not even knowing what they're picking up, but they're, you know, this, you know, to me, and that's me, you know, they obviously know what it is because they're picking it, you know, and now they're going to sample it. So like, but when I say the old music that we grew up with and that we enjoyed and all this other stuff, the classic stuff, you know, and those artists are still making music today. John Mayer put one out yesterday.
You sent me.
Oh, I loved it. Yeah, I love it. The 80s vibe is...
it's real.
And so now there's an album coming out, I think, later this month.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be like a whole 80s, like, super vibe.
I love, like, so there's a couple of mainstream guys, and then there's a couple, like, there's a another group that I love that's, like, all about this 80s vibe.
So right.
You got, like, The Weeknd, his last album was, and all his, like, his last two or three singles all had that, like, real 80s-esque. You got this John Mayer one. There's a group called The Midnight that does that electronic 80s style, like, you know, with the synthesizer and like the guitar, very like Phil Collins esque, but they're all new stuff.
Yeah,
and their songs are amazing. And there's it's all instrumental stuff,
right?
But it's just straight 80s all day long.
My algorithms were going nuts yesterday after I sent you that John Mayer song. I tagged one of my buddies on it. And because he's a big John Mayer fan. And so my algorithms were going nuts, and it just kept on Facebook, kept popping up John Mayer groups. Mm-hmm. So I joined a couple.
Okay.
Man, the hate and the disdain of John Mayer fans that he is any way involved with Grateful Dead.
They're not fans.
Oh, they hate it.
Why?
I have no idea because
ignorance.
Because number one, they're absolutely ignorant. They have no idea. They just have no idea how much of a music genius lyrically Jerry Garcia was. Then these old dudes could play.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and so it got me looking into Grateful Dead. You know, they hold the record in the world all time sold out shows.
I didn't know that.
Fact.
Deadheads are
loyal because I'm reading these comments when somebody gets on and they're talking trash about John Mayer going on tour with the Grateful Dead. You start reading about the Deadheads, like, yeah, Dead and Company's touring this year, and I've already bought tickets to 22 of the shows, and I'm like, dude.
My cousin, give or take homeless, but kind of willingly, in a sense.
Right.
Works odd jobs, but he's literally a roadie.
He lives in a van.
He travels to follow Grateful Dead.
Right.
He work an odd job for a couple weeks, save some money.
I don't know if I'm about that life.
I mean, You get into philosophy of life, man. Like, what's important? For him, good music and seeing the world. Whatever. More power to you.
Yeah.
Speaking of Grateful Dead.
Yeah.
Let's start in a decade that most people are going to have at least some familiarity with, right?
Some familiarity.
The 60s. The 50s were great. Don't get me wrong.
The 60s is a good... That's a good spot to start in, because 50s music, I don't really know a whole lot, you know, before the 60s, okay?
All that's really back there, like your Johnny B. Goode.
Right.
You know, your...
A lot of, like, your... The sock hop stuff.
A lot of your Motown stuff.
Okay.
You know, your Supremes. Yeah. Guys, like, all, you know, which is fun, but, like... You know, you got to think, like, what the Beatles did for, all music, and how they, like, made music this international by bridging, you know, across the pond.
Okay.
And from the 60s, it's like, that's kind of that big kickoff.
Okay, so let's do this before... We'll definitely start with the 60s, but list your generations in order of your favorite to... No, okay, start with your least favorite to your favorite.
So if we say 60s to 2000...
Yeah, let's say 2010, just because I do enjoy Outkast and everything that was just after 2000.
So, from 60s to 2010s, 2010s definitely last. 60s would be next. 2000s, 80s, 70s, 80s, 90s. 90s being the best.
Wait, you like the 80s over the 70s?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Not only because, surprisingly, a lot of music that people think is 70s music is actually early 80s music.
Right. Okay.
See, a lot of your late 70s crossover bands. Like
the Pink Floyds merge into there. Led Zeppelin. Yeah.
Journey,
okay. Yeah,
like,
got you.
They all make that leap into the 80s. A lot of their bigger stuff.
And I want to talk about that later, too. Mine would go early 2000s. 60s.
This is least to favorite. Least to most.
Least okay. to most favorite.
Favorite, yeah.
So early 2000s, 60s, 80s, and then just put 70s and 90s interchangeable.
What about 2010s? We didn't do 2010s.
I'm not 2010s. I'm not a fan. Listen, the music that I listened to after 2010 and up until now is like folk music that nobody's ever heard about.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's your local natives, Young the Giant.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's ever heard of them,
yeah.
You know, unless you're just really into the music. But, yeah, you can take the 70s and the 90s and interchange them. I don't even care. It's 1A and 1B.
Love the 70s.
Yeah, absolutely. My brother had a podcast. They don't do it anymore since he got back into school and moved over to Memphis. But they did a music episode, and one of his co-hosts said that the 90s was the worst generation for music that he's ever heard. He said the music in the 90s was trash, and that hit me to my soul.
This guy's co-hosting a music podcast?
Well, no, it wasn't necessarily. They just did a music episode.
Oh, okay.
You know, but...
He should stop talking.
That's what I said, because then he started talking about, like, how great, like, Blink-182 is, and, like, all the, like, weird, like, the Killers. I got to go back and listen to it and get the exact bands, but I'm like, yo. I texted my brother, and I was like, how can this dude talk about the 90s as trash, but then list the bands he listed? And my brother goes, dude, I know.
So. It just meant, you know, when you grow up with music being such a foundation of your life, you forget that a lot of times others don't. It's not a norm for everybody.
Right.
So you're like, your opinion and your understanding of music is so much different than other people that you just have to, you know, bless. Just.
And the crazy thing was, he is a 90s baby.
Is he?
You know, which is wild to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, 60s. When I think 60s, my head automatically goes to a place of hippies.
Yeah.
Okay. So Grateful Dead is one of them. Hendrix, Jimi Hendrix, mm-hmm. Janis Joplin. That's the music I go to. Free Love, Flower Power, Dodge drafting music.
Yeah. And see, the thing about that, though, is you got
Carlos Santana.
Yes. And you got to be, this is what, like, we talked about a second ago about the decades, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of those hippie artists It's like French painter, you know, painters. Like right. We hear about them now. We know about them now. But back then, they were nobodies. Right. Right. So what was the kickoff point?
Woodstock.
1969.
Okay.
Into 1970s.
So now we're getting into, right, right.
So like when I think of 60s, yes, like for sure. Tail end of the Vietnam era. But yeah. I'm also thinking like early Stevie. I'm thinking like the Supremes.
Okay.
Gladys Knight and the Pips.
Right.
I'm thinking that kind of like that early kind of Motown Philly.
And early, this is
kind of feel.
And this is music, and maybe that's just my ignorance, but that's just music I never got into. You know what I mean? Like I can't.
Yeah.
Like if I sat down and put on like the Temptations or, you know, Gladys Knight or Aretha Franklin, like, yeah. I can't listen to it past one or two songs, man. I'm like, okay, now I got to get out
see,
of it.
I got a Motown Philly station.
Yeah.
Like all Motown stuff.
Yeah.
And then, but then you also like your Beach Boys.
Okay.
Your Monkees, your Beatles, Good Vibrations.
I'd rather forget about the Beatles. The Beatles are trash. You know what I mean?
Some of their music, I'd have to disagree on. But here's the thing. You're talking, again, about a group that crossed generation decade after decade after decade. I heard a really weird conspiracy theory the other day about the Beatles. Supposedly.
Uh-huh.
Supposedly.
Sir
Paul McCartney
uh-huh.
died like the first year the band got big.
Okay. And they replaced him.
It was a secret.
Uh-huh.
And they had this replacement guy that came in and filled
right.
his spot. And the later, like, weird, like, hippie, like, weird psychedelic stuff, like the album cover for Sgt. Pepper, had all these celebrities, you know, Gandhi and all, like, all these big celebrities around the world. And what it was supposed to be was because he died and they had to keep it a secret. That they had to do this secret funeral where, like, the band and, like, the family member, the manager, that was it, was allowed to be there to keep it under wraps, and that the album cover was an homage to, who, like, the funeral that he should have gotten.
Where right.
everybody was there.
Right.
And so they've taken it as far as, they, like, if you look at other albums, like, there's one of the album covers, they're sitting there with dead baby, like, holding baby dolls with their heads torn off.
Right.
Next to him. And they went as far as to have, like, a forensics expert look at the facial structure of like the original McCartney when they were like the Ed Sullivan show and right. the guy that is the Paul McCartney now. And the dude's like, this is not even the same face.
Right.
All the facial structures are off.
But why would I don't understand why you would even do that.
Popularity at the time, man.
I guess.
They were huge.
I guess.
But yeah. Songs like Sweet Caroline is also in the 60s.
Right. Elvis was in the 60s.
Yep.
I've said Ray it once. Charles. I've said it once. I'll say it a million times. And this will be for another episode of Unpopular Opinions. Mm-hmm. If Buddy Holly
mm-hmm.
didn't die in that plane crash,
yeah.
we wouldn't even be talking about Elvis Presley being the king of rock and roll.
True story. I agree with that.
Cool.
I totally agree with that. Another thing that was a crossover, kind of talking the decade jump, 50s to 60s, but was still really big, Rat Pack era.
Okay.
Frank Sinatra.
Yeah.
Dean Martin. Sammy Davis Jr.
Right.
Those guys, all 60s. Like, most of their big stuff was in the 60s.
Yeah.
Ain't that a kick in the head?
Man, I would have loved to sit in a group in Vegas and listen to Frank Sinatra sing.
Dude.
Just knowing how involved with the mob he was and listening to him sing the type of songs that he's...
He was, so, like, it's if you go back and watch, like, just interview, like, just, like, candid videos of Frank, like, just sitting around, like, talking, you know? He's sitting there smoking a cigarette. Just like kind of like we talked about how baseball, you know,
just so cool,
just so chill. Like
yeah.
all the things that you don't do as a singer, kind of like in the early baseball era, like they're in there smoking cigars and right. drinking whiskey. Like Frank's in there
dropping acid,
yeah,
throwing no hitters.
Exactly. Frank's in there smoking cigarettes, chopping it up with girls, you know, and he's, you know, yeah, yeah. And then he's like, hold on 1 second. Ain't that a kick in the head?
Yeah.
Like, fly me to the moon. You know,
yeah.
Like, you don't hear that kind of stuff anymore.
You got that sound, dude. That sounded pretty good.
I don't know about all that.
Yeah.
You know, I will say, we won't go down the rabbit hole in this, but that sound, you know, I know they talk a lot about, like, the low fidelity versus high fidelity, the records versus, like, the digital music and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm so impressed with Michael Bublé being able to sing that style.
Michael Bublé. Yeah.
But just to hear him sing that style on, like, you know, digital music.
Yeah.
And still sound like the Rat Pack era. Like, it makes you think, like, if Frank were alive now,
he'd be proud.
How much better he would sound.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. true story.
Tony Bennett.
Speaking of Woodstock.
Yeah.
That if I could go back and do events in history, like if I could have a time machine, like, okay, cool, you got five places in history that you can go. Woodstock would definitely be one of them.
Oh, for sure. To watch Santana. You know the story behind Santana?
Okay, so I don't recall, but I remember I watched a Woodstock documentary on either Hulu or it was the story of Woodstock and how they plan, you know, planning it, leading up to it, it actually happening, them running out of food, you know, all this other stuff. And they did a big thing on Santana.
Santana was so high on acid, he had no idea where he was.
Yeah,
and his whole set. He said, "I had no idea where I was."
And the wild thing is it wasn't until later in my life that I knew Santana was that old to have performed at Woodstock
as a young man,
right?
Not a child,
right? And now today he's still kicking it.
The greatest thing that happened at Woodstock. By far, Jimi Hendrix national anthem.
Oh yeah, he laced his headband with LSD. Mm-hmm. And it's crazy to me how people get mad at that version of it. I think it's one of the best ever.
If you're gonna get mad at the national anthem, you get mad at Fergie's,
dude.
At the playoffs.
You get mad at Fergie's original
or the All Star game, whatever the heck it was.
Yeah, it was at the finals. Ugh. You definitely got to be mad at Fergie, but I mean,
the fact that Draymond Green was standing there could not keep a straight face.
All of them were laughing, but then the Golden State Warriors remixed it, and that was pretty funny.
Did they really?
Oh, dude, it was crazy.
So '60s.
'60s.
How about we get into the golden era of rock and roll.
70s. No, not 70s yet.
You want to skip it?
Yeah, I want to do our favorites at the end.
Okay. 2000s.
So the early 2000s is when I really started getting into hip-hop, and it was Outkast.
Okay.
Outkast, that's who I think of early 2000s. I'm fresh out of high school,
mm-hmm.
right? Going into college. And that's what I'm listening to is... a lot of Outkast,
mm-hmm.
a lot of Houston rap, the Swish a House and the Chopped and Screwed.
In the hallways of school. Who?
Yeah.
Mike Jones.
Right. I had a roommate in college who he got so excited. His grandma bought him a computer, brand new computer. And the first thing he did was downloaded LimeWire and downloaded the full 34-minute June 27th freestyle.
Okay.
He said, I got the whole version, and we'd play it all the time.
Yeah.
But that's when I learned about the Chopped and Screwed, like mm-hmm. the Swanging and Banging.
Mm-hmm.
What is it? 25 Lighters, you know, which, and then, you know, that's such an iconic rap song. ZZ Top came back and did a version of it, which is wild to me.
I like, when I think of early 2000s, I think about the end of the 90s were because it was all the
right.
It was all the verses. Christina versus Britney.
Right.
Sing versus Backstreet Boys, you know. Soul for Real versus
right.
Boys to Men, you know, whatever. So it was like after that you started to get that new millennium boy, and which people think I'm crazy. Like I liked boy groups.
Right.
I love the Backstreet Boys.
98 Degrees and NSYNC.
Yeah, man. So I think about early 2000s. Yeah, downloading the
LimeWire,
the FrostWire,
yeah.
the Napster.
Yeah.
Early 2000s for me, definitely like same thing. Outkast.
Yeah.
Getting into that was the evolution for me for hip hop because I'd listened to hip hop in the late 90s with my older brother, but it was like finding that love for it was
right.
early 2000s. That's when I learned about Nas.
Exactly. Outkast led me to Nas, to Biggie, to Tupac, and that's what led me to Mobb Deep.
Mm-hmm.
When he called out Mobb Deep on Hit 'Em Up,
yep.
started listening to them, and then all of a sudden now I'm listening to Jay-Z,
mm-hmm.
who I hate, Lil Wayne, who I hate.
Mm. Lil Wayne had an era that he was good.
Okay.
Styrofoam cup, Lil Wayne was.
Anyways,
the other thing I'll tell you, the other big, at least for me, because I know you and I definitely don't see eye to eye on this, and you make fun of me for it. EDM,
yeah,
the early 2000s when the EDM giant was awoken.
I did like that Sandstorm. Yeah, that one. Yeah, that one. We don't need to play it.
We used to do a. We used to do this funny at the cheer camps. We'd put words to it in a little dance. The kids did, I should say. It went big fish, little fish, cardboard box, looking through the window, shopping, or looking through the window, or looking through the closet, shopping bag, shopping. Like, the kids just come up with all these lyrics for it. And like, we play the song and they'd freestyle stupid lyrics for that song.
That sounds horrible.
It was hilarious.
Oh, okay.
They would come up with the most ridiculous
stuff. I guess you had to be there, but.
Yeah, definitely.
Early 2000s too, I'm still taking I'm taking Smashing Pumpkins from the 90s into the 2000s. I love them.
Okay.
I'm still listening to the Toadies and Candlebox and all that stuff from the 90s over into the 2000s. But then it was later in the 2004, 2005, I start getting into the Modest Mouse.
Okay.
And the Death Cab.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when, but these weird bands like Boy and Bear.
Slipknot was big for me.
Slipknot was big in the 90s when I was in high school for me. Korn and Limp Bizkit. Yep. We'll get
early
to that
2000s
one.
Early 2000s for me was Korn.
Right.
And then Godsmack, early
2000s. Godsmack, yeah. Generational music is... It's
it kind of ties into that nostalgic we talked about.
Right.
Because you and I are talking about, like... Because being 90s... Like growing up 90s, 2000s, like we know the music that was on the radio.
Yeah.
Versus what our parents played on the oldie station.
Right.
So we get to like, it's that, what was I doing 2004? Senior in high school. Okay. What was I doing senior in high school? I was driving this truck. What was I doing in this truck? Listen to this music.
Right.
This is right there.
I can tell you, yeah.
It's right there.
Yeah. In the 90s, I'll do that. You can always pinpoint like at least one group who transitions you from one generation into another.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I told you I wanted to talk about this.
Yeah.
So Pink Floyd is from 70s to 80s for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the 80s to the 90s is Metallica.
Yeah.
Okay. So I took Metallica, hard rock, slasher, hard guitar riffs, long hair, whatever. And then once they get into the 90s, cut their hair, now we're alternative, and I know that they're not the ones who like started alternative music,
right?
But that's for me,
right.
That was the transition. And then again in the 90s to the 2000s, it's Smashing Pumpkins took me into the 2000s, you know.
See,
what I mean,
and like for me, and that's that, I think that just shows it, even though you and I are only a couple years apart in age, Metallica is like, when I think Metallica, it's only 90s.
Uh-huh.
I just think Enter Sandman, like that whole feel.
Right.
I mean, I like the other stuff. You're right. I listen to it, but my first thought when I think of Metallica is Enter Sandman, because I remember mid 90s being at the Boys and Girls Club and uh-huh. they would have MTV on the TV. And I remember Enter Sandman was in the top 10 TRL, right?
Right.
And everybody loved that song. And so it's like, that's like late 90s for me, mid to late 90s.
Yeah, I like that. Metallica's great.
I still love them.
Like, okay, so I started, like, when I first found out about Metallica, I loved them. And then, I guess when they went to alternative,
mm-hmm.
I stopped liking them.
Really?
And I would laugh.
Like, sold out?
Like, yeah, that's what I feel like. Like, I feel like they, I don't know. Somebody at a label was like, hey, this is the direction we need to go now. And instead of like sticking to their guns and like, no, this is the kind of music that made us with these hard riffs and long hair and, you know, mm-hmm. heavy metal. Like they went on with the King Nothings and the,
yeah.
you know, King for a Day or whatever.
What bothered me most, and it's not even Metallica. It was not Metallica at all. The four original heavy metal bands, Slayer, Megadeth, Metallica, and Metallica, Slayer, Megadeth, Anthrax.
Anthrax.
So Metallica's final touring year was the year before COVID.
Mm-hmm.
They had a show in Dallas. Those resale tickets were $3,000.
I don't know.
Because it's their final year, right? The idea to pitch it like a big four tour, all the guys from Metallica were completely on board. Lars Ulrich was like, yeah, like we'd love to do that. Like, if everybody else is down, let's do it.
Yeah.
And I want to say it was Megadeth.
Yeah.
That was like, we have no interest in that. They were the only one. Every other band was like, yeah. I mean, could you imagine going to a show and seeing Slayer, Anthrax, Megadeth, and Metallica in the same night?
So I feel like you can have the three without Megadeth, because I've read it where it was said one time, Metallica can definitely Megadeth.
Yeah.
No way Megadeth can Metallica.
But
like at all. But I mean, Mustaine was in Metallica for a hot minute, right, and then went and.
But here, think about this. Outside of that, could you really enjoy the music knowing that, like, you had all of, like, this generational stuff, and knowing that they're not going to play everything that you want to hear because you know you've got to fit four bands? And so you're going in there, like, wondering, when they cherry pick all of their stuff, am I going to leave here satisfied?
Yeah.
Regardless of what you think about each one band, because you get hype about all of them, but you're going in there like, I want to hear this, I want to hear this, I want to hear this.
Yeah.
Knowing that they're going to cherry pick what they want to play, and you may get six songs each, eight songs each, maybe.
Yeah.
And then you leave there thinking like,
that's fair.
That wasn't what I hoped for.
Man. That's what I hate.
Because of the generational gaps. They got to pick something, right?
That's what I hate about concerts for sure, is going to a concert and wanting to hear a specific song being played.
And you wait.
And you wait.
And you wait.
And you wait.
And then you wait for the encore.
And you wait. And you wait. And they don't play it. And then you're like, man, wasted my money.
That almost happened to me when I saw Elton John. We got the parking at the parking at the Freeman was not like, they had the worst staff. Mm-hmm. We sat in front of the Freeman on the road for like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Watching like it's showtime, right? And I'm like, if I don't hear Benny and the Jets,
yeah,
I'm going to lose my mind.
Right.
And the show's about to start, and I don't know his set list, I don't know any of that stuff. And I was like, I told my buddies, they're sitting in the car. I was like, I'm not driving. Y'all park the car. I'm going. I'm not missing this show. And I took off running through the parking lot, got my ticket scanned, ran in. As I'm running in, he's playing his very first song, and he's about a third of the way through it. It's Benny and the Jets. And I ran into like the wing, and I'm standing in the wing listening to him sing it. And the ticket lady's like, where's your ticket? And I was like, it's right here. She goes, this is not your section. I was like, I know. I was like, I got to hear this song. This is like, no matter what, I got to hear this song. She's like, you have to go to your seat. I'm like, ma'am, I'm not leaving until he's done with this song. She's like, I'll call security if you don't go to your seat. I'm like, call them. By the time they get here, the song will be over and I'll be gone. Go ahead. And I stood there in the wing because I almost missed that song. And she's like, calling for security. The song ends. I go, okay, bye. And I completely took off running to the other side.
That's funny.
And every other song after that, I'm like, it was great, but I would have missed Benny and the Jets if I'd have waited.
Yeah, but going into a concert like that now, like I can't do it anymore. Like expecting to hear a song, I just want to hear them jam now. Because if I'm sitting there mad because the next song is not what I want to hear, and then the next song is not what I want to hear, then the next song, I'm losing focus on how great the concert probably actually is.
True story.
Because I'm waiting for this stupid song to be played, and it's making me mad that it's not being played, so I'm not enjoying the actual genius of the musician who I paid money to see.
True story.
You know? Mm-hmm. So there's that.
So what decade do you want to do next?
80s. So the 80s, it took... Okay, so I used to say the 80s was horrible music. I couldn't stand listening to it. But it was because I was uneducated on it. I knew there was some Pink Floyd and some Doobie Brothers and some of those 70s bands that we talked about that transitioned into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it should be said that bands don't just quit. Hey, I started in the 70s. I got to quit because it's the 80s now. And, you know, the generation of music and the music is evolving and the evolution of music is so, you know, noticeable. We have to stop.
Right.
You know, so right. You got these bands that are going in. But now It was a couple years ago at work. We took the kids to see Bumblebee. Okay, the Transformers.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
And so that movie is the beginning of the Transformers when they send Bumblebee from the planet or whatever to Earth to hide.
Okay.
Okay, so this is the start of the Transformers.
I haven't seen that.
Okay, and it's a couple of years old now, so I'm not worried about ruining it for anybody. But the music, the soundtrack to it was 80s, and so Tears for Fears comes on, and I'm like, man, that's a really good song. Mm-hmm. I really do enjoy that song, and I had heard it before, but I've never really like heard it.
So we talked a lot about the bands that transition.
Right.
I mean, think about the bands that peak in a later decade.
Right.
Chicago.
Yeah.
You're the inspiration.
Right.
But Chicago, some of Chicago's best was, I mean, yeah, they're 70s band all day, but like some of their best stuff is in, right.
One of Pink Floyd's best albums is in the 80s, A Momentary Lapse of Reason. Mm-hmm. A great album. Mm-hmm. It's in the 80s. It's still Pink Floyd. You can tell it's still Pink Floyd, but it's 80s Pink Floyd. It's not your, since the music has evolved. Mm-hmm. I feel like Pink Floyd in the 70s was ahead of their time with their style, with the synthesizer and the way they played that. And now music caught up to them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Right. So once they're in the 80s now.
Everybody.
Right. Everyone's doing it now. And so now you can tell it's Pink Floyd. But now they just sound like your run-of-the-mill 80s band.
Right.
You know, instead of ahead of their time in the 70s.
Queen was the same way. Queen was great in the 70s.
Right.
But Under Pressure, David Bowie.
Yeah.
Fat Bottom Girls.
Right.
Was also 70s.
Man, that's a great
song. Or 80s.
It's a great song.
And my favorite band.
Toto.
No, I love Toto, though.
Yeah, Journey. I do, too. Oh, okay.
Journey.
No, you said that before. Okay. Mm-hmm. But yeah, when I think of 80s music now, and it's because of this movie that we went to take the kids to see, I'm thinking of Tears for Fears, Toto, stuff like that. You've got your hair bands. Mm-hmm. What was Mr. Big? Mm-hmm. What was the other
Twisted Sister?
Yeah, them.
Motley Crue.
Man. I'll get back to that. I'm thinking of one specific band in the 80s.
Poison?
No, they suck.
Whoa.
Okay, we'll get back to that.
Hair band?
Yeah, it's a hair band. They got one of the most iconic 80s songs ever.
Kiss?
No, not Kiss.
Kiss is an 80s. Is best. I mean, a lot of their stuff was late 70s, but they were definitely 80s.
Okay, look, I'm gonna
hair pull bands it. In the 70s. Let's see if I can think. So, not Motley Crue, not Poison,
not Motley Crue,
not Rush.
Nope.
I'm trying to think of those like the arena rock. Def Leppard.
No, not Def Leppard. Oh, man. What is this?
Van Halen?
No. Man, this is going to bug me.
While you're looking that up, one thing that I loved about the 80s music was the evolution of hip-hop. Because, like, when we get to 70s, we talk about Rapper's Delight. But you got into, like, Funky Cole Medina in the 80s.
Whitesnake.
Whitesnake. Yeah.
Whitesnake.
Whitesnake is what music that our parents made love to. In the back of a Camaro.
That's disgusting.
It's the truth, though. You know, tell you who else was my favorite decade for them? And you're talking about multi-decade? We're talking 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and 2000s. My favorite decade was the 80s for this person.
Person.
I just gave it away.
Was it Elton John? I don't know. Gross.
Oh, come on, man.
Gross, man.
Rock With You was an amazing... Like, 80s was Michael's decade.
Yeah.
90s, he got into, like, the bad, you know. But, like, the 80s, he was still kind of, like, pretty boy.
He wasn't white yet.
Exactly.
You know who else I love from from the 80s? And I feel like he's super-duper underrated.
Who?
Billy Joel.
Oh, definitely.
Super underrated.
So underrated.
Anybody, with the exception of Elton John, who sits at a piano mm-hmm. to play rock music, mm-hmm. You're underrated.
For sure.
Billy Joel, I mean, he got the love that he deserved, but I feel like when you're talking about kids going back to listen to the classics, going to listen to the old stuff, they're not searching out Billy Joel, mm-hmm. which is a shame. Piano Man is one of my favorite songs in the world.
For our listeners that are listening to us going, I'm still not convinced about the 80s. Keep in mind, when you go to a wedding, the majority of what you're hearing is from the 80s. So if you enjoy having a good time, the 80s are where you need to be. Man in the Mirror.
Yeah.
Don't Stop Believing. Planet Rock. Money for Nothing.
But yeah, hello, Dire Straits.
Money for Nothing. Come on.
Right on.
What put MTV
on the map?
On the map.
Video Killed the Radio Star.
Video Killed the Radio Star, yeah. And Money for Nothing.
Right. Money for Nothing for the longest time was the number one. I guess they did a ranking of music videos.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, Money for Nothing was number one.
I think it was the first music video that had animation in it.
Right. So it always went Money for Nothing and then Purple Rain.
That's
great. Not Purple Rain, November Rain.
Oh, I was going to say Purple Rain was a great video.
No. November Rain was a great video. The wedding, and then the funeral, and then Slash in the rain playing his guitar.
Here's the thing, man. The best music video of all time, and you're going to... I feel like you're going to argue with me on it, but I feel like only because your gut reaction is going to be to argue with me. But...
Thriller.
Thriller's great. Destiny, or Beyonce.
Yeah, get out of here. I'm not even entertaining that. No. Put a ring on it.
It's a great video.
Wow, man.
What decade now?
I wish you never had did that. You pick, man. 70s or 90s.
Well, you and I both are like, those are like our two. That's literally the foundation of our podcast.
I used to tell my dad all the time, like, I grew up in the wrong generation. Like, I should have been born in the 60s, like early 60s, and actually like grew up and did my adolescence through the 70s.
For sure.
Big
body cars.
Yeah. Big body cars, classic rock music. Fat bottom
girls.
Yeah.
You know it was 80s.
Bell bottoms.
So let's do 70s.
Okay,
and we'll 70s. Save 90s for last. Because you and I are both 90s junkies.
So.
CCR.
Automatically, I go to Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd.
See, I go to CCR, the Doobie Brother, Allman Brother.
Right. Now,
it's Skynyrd.
Well, I do enjoy the Southern classic rock the most. Mm-hmm. Led Zeppelin and Pink Floyd are a nostalgic thing. I remember the first time I heard Kashmir.
Yeah.
Okay. We were driving to church camp, and my dad was driving the van. And it came on the radio, and he turned it up. And we got a bunch of, you know, young. And when I say young, I'm talking like second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth graders.
Mm-hmm.
Jamming out to Kashmir in the van on the way to church camp with my dad. Like, that tells you a lot about my dad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Oh, dude.
And so that was my introduction to Led Zeppelin. And so it wasn't long after that, for Christmas, I got my first Led Zeppelin CD, In Through the Outdoor.
There you go.
But that's an 80s. That's an 80s album.
But your love started.
But my love started with 70s. And now... Man, anytime Led Zeppelin is on the radio, I'm stopping. I got Led Zeppelin on the wall up above your right shoulder.
Yeah.
That's, I can't remember. I think that's Zoso. It's got Stairway to Heaven on it.
Mm-hmm. So I was going through, and I sent you, which we found out our Candy playlist. Yeah. But
a shame.
I know. It's so dumb. Such I mean, I respect the artist. And
yeah.
So for our listeners, I sent Adam... a few, you know, a handful of songs from each decade that in the 70s was the first one. And when I got into the decades, I'm like, crap, there's so many songs I can think of. And the biggest thing about the 70s too is that generation or that decade was where, like, trying to expand the genres.
Right.
So I just want to read this list. And these are just a handful of songs of different genres from the 70s, just to give you guys an idea of how diverse music was in the 70s, which is why Adam and I are so just junkies for the 70s. So these are all 70s songs, believe it or not. Gimme Three Steps, Bohemian Rhapsody,
yeah,
Rapper's Delight, Three Little Birds, Family Tradition, Tiny Dancer, and Fat Bottom Girls.
Three Little Birds.
Bob Marley.
It was
a 70s song. I forget that song was in the 70s.
Look who I had pulled up literally while you're reading that list. Can you see that?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
I was not going to let us get out of the 70s without mentioning Bob Marley.
But I just love that, you know, in these seven songs, you've got Southern classic rock.
Right.
You've got Queen rock.
Right.
You've got hip hop. You've got reggae. You've got Southern, like not Southern, like Family Tradition, like just Southern.
Yeah.
Tiny Dancer. So yeah. You got some pop.
Yeah.
And Fat Bottom Girl, you know, more the queen. Right. Like in seven songs, and one out right. of thousands,
you've got at least six
different genres
or subgenres. Yeah.
70s was like the explosion of like after the hippie movement and everybody like just we got past free love. Think about it. We're past Vietnam. You got some of the rock from the 60s. You got disco coming.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was just about to bring up. Disco's on its way. You know, we didn't even mention a disco.
Mm-hmm.
Not a disco fan, myself.
You've also got your post-invasion decade.
Yeah.
So now you got all the groups that want to be, you know, groups.
Right.
You've got your post-Motown.
Right.
It's just like, every one of those early seeds that were planted just sprouted.
70s,
all of these different types.
70s music is the reason when we did the movie music,
mm-hmm.
the soundtracks,
mm-hmm.
why Dazed and Confused is my favorite. Because it is, I mean, it's
quintessential.
It's Peter Frampton. It's, who's the crazy dude? He plays the guitar. He's crazy now. He's crazy right wing nut.
Oh, Ted Nugent.
Ted Nugent, yeah. You know, just Black Oak, Arkansas. Not a fan. My dad loved him,
mm-hmm.
but he was just super weird.
Yeah.
His voice. I feel like if he didn't sing in that weird voice, like one of the popular songs is Jim Dandy.
Mm-hmm.
If he didn't sing like he did, I'd probably like them.
Yeah.
But his voice is so annoying. Like his voice to me is like
nails on chalkboard.
The way you describe Stevie Nicks
mm-hmm.
on steroids.
Yeah, you can't get past.
You can't. So I hate
Ted Nugent.
No. I love Ted Nugent. I love his music. I love Stranglehold. I think that's one of the best solo guitar ever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm talking about Black Oak, Arkansas.
Yeah.
But yeah. But 70s is where I belonged. Now the soundtrack, I didn't mention that football movie.
Oh, yeah. Remember the Titans.
Yeah. What era? 60s. That 60s. That was a great soundtrack.
It was. A lot of Temptations.
Right.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Right. Yeah. But it's those mainstream songs. That's all I can listen to once I start delving a little deeper.
Well, that's, you know, we also got, you know, we're so spoiled with how easy it is for music to come out.
Yeah.
And the volume. I think that's another big thing is the sheer volume of music now. Like when you go back and you look at like the 60s and 70s, the process it took to get music to the masses was so arduous that like you'd have a song that was number one for 6 months because there was nobody. Like we're trying to make the next album.
Right.
You and I can take what we do tonight and
edit.
Put it into a plug-in and turn our entire hour conversation into a song and upload it in 5 minutes.
Right.
And that's a whole different rabbit hole to go down on just how that's watered down music.
It was.
But I think it's because it took so much time that people like knew like, hey, this has got to be good because it's what people are going to listen to for the next however long.
Right. It was.
You see the timelessness of it now.
Pending the amount of time that we had left once we got through all the eras, I was willing to go down that rabbit hole of how it literally takes no talent to make it in the music industry this day.
You can buy plugins that will automatically make, like, you could sing every note off key,
auto tune it,
and it will completely
perfect. Right. And that's hip hop today. Auto tune. Who's the T-Pain?
Sings so well without autotune.
Right.
It blows my mind.
It's crazy.
The fact that he ever used it.
Right. I feel like once he put a song out on autotune, Like, he had to go nothing but auto-tune. And you know what I mean? Because if he came out without any kind of auto-tune, no one's going to know who he is. Right. But it's so recognizable with the auto-tune.
To see him do those small sets where he sings acoustic.
Right.
And if you've... That's early homework, so I don't forget it. If you've never heard T-Pain sing without auto-tune, just Google search.
Yeah.
You promise you will not be disappointed.
I don't think T-Pain could disappoint me anyway. But anyways.
To the 90s?
To the 90s.
Hallelujah. Sweet salvation.
So, I need to pull up your list here and just see.
So, this was out of... So, as you could tell, as I went on, the lists got longer.
Yeah, they did.
And the 90s was the longest.
Time of Your Life. Wait. Lauryn Hill?
No, Time of Your Life. Good Riddance.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I hope you have the time of your life. Just because, so when I think about the 90s, yes, there's a lot of great music that's good because it's good. The thing about the 90s also is there was a lot of like just the songs that everyone knows, that everyone recognizes that are still good.
Right.
You know, like the timeless of the 90s.
Right.
You know, we think timeless, like you're thinking like your 70s, your 60s, some of your 80s stuff. And then you see less and less timeless music.
Yeah.
I feel like the 90s still had some of these timeless songs. Like Time of Your Life is going to be the graduation song forever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Just like Another Brick in the Wall.
Exactly.
It's going to be up there with that.
Motown Philly, only because...
Yeah, why?
I liked Motown Philly because I felt like it was this really cool glimpse of crossover between like... hip-hop and R&B, because you hear that a lot, like, tune into 98.5, The Beat, hip-hop and R&B. And you hear hip-hop,
right?
And you hear R&B. Well, right. Now you got Boyz II Men who sing hip-hop doing, or sing R&B doing a hip-hop version. Like, that to me was kind of cool, because, like, you don't hear the two together.
That's fair.
So I thought that was kind of
cool. I'll give you that one.
Then you get into, like, the stuff you and I love the most. Iris, Wonderwall, Everlong.
Wonderwall. So, there is your... example of one of the greatest songs that wasn't even the best song on an album.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
I don't think people appreciate Oasis the same way I don't think people appreciate Coldplay.
So we're going to do an episode on underrated music, and Oasis is definitely going to be on there, because I think with the Gallagher's fighting and them breaking up so early and not being able to put out more Oasis CDs or albums or whatever, that makes them super underrated, because What's the Story? Morning Glory is one of the greatest rock albums ever made.
You know what's funny?
And people don't even realize it.
A lot of that underrated music, I bet you if we asked each other, which decade do you feel like had the most underrated music?
I feel like it's going to be
the
90s. Yeah, the 90s, absolutely.
Yeah.
Because you got bands like Candlebox. I think they're underrated.
Mm-hmm.
Being outdone by a Nickelback,
yeah,
or a Three Doors Down, or you know, whatever, you know. But Candlebox was awesome. I went to a concert one time, and it was Bush, who I love. I love Bush, and they were opened up by a band called Default.
Okay,
do you remember Default?
Mm. Okay, maybe I heard some of their songs.
If you heard one, you probably would. But Default opened up, and Bush was definitely not the best band of the night.
I'm only a fan of Glycerin. I don't feel like I like Bush. I like their sound, and like some of their songs are good. But I feel like they rode the Glycerin.
I disagree. Wave. I think Gavin was very, very talented. But you know, to the point where you know you've got super underrated music like Default opening up for Bush, and they were much better than Bush in my opinion, especially that night.
Fair enough.
My favorite subgenre, and we've talked about this before, is the grunge.
Mm-hmm.
I love Nirvana. I love Soundgarden, Pearl Jam, Temple of the Dog.
Smashing Pumpkins.
I wouldn't necessarily call them grunge. They're definitely alternative, but I'm thinking of Foo Fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one other I'm missing, Alice in Chains.
Yep.
Now, when I was growing up, I wasn't allowed to listen to Alice in Chains because it was Alice in Chains, and my mom did not like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it was, no, Mom, the band is named after one of their friends named Allison Chains.
Right.
So
Bache you know. Pass.
Right. So started listening to that. But I remember in the 90s, I'm in eighth grade, and I'm calling 99.5 Kiss mm-hmm. every night. Every night when it's, I think from like 8 to 10 was the was all request line. Yeah. Hey, I need to listen. I need y'all to play Grind by Alice in Chains every single night mm-hmm. before I went to bed. Mm-hmm. I was calling them and asking for it. So, yeah, that's...
90s for me was very Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, yeah.
Blues Traveler.
So you got your... Okay.
You know, the Gin Blossoms.
Gin Blossoms, Counting Crows.
Definitely Counting
Crows. Dave Matthews. Mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily a Dave Matthews fan in the 90s, but that's where they started. Melon. Blind Melon, Jars of Clay, Depeche Mode a little bit, but not... no, I take that back. But, yeah, there's so many genres of music in the 90s that I love.
And only because we have done three episodes on it, the majority of your and my favorite hip-hop artists...
are in the 90s. Absolutely.
And your vocalists, big vocalists, Lauryn Hill.
Lauryn Hill.
I know you don't like her, but Whitney's biggest hits were in the 90s.
Yawn.
Celine Dion was in the 90s.
Man, have you seen Cher lately?
Cher now, or what looks like Cher from 50 years ago that is still Cher now?
What? Cher looking like Kim Kardashian.
You know who else Cher. Has had their face redone again and looks exceedingly young and attractive? Madonna.
We're talking about the same picture here.
Madonna has redone her face again and looks like she's 15.
Yeah.
Like
she. Well, that's gross.
Well, you know what I mean.
I don't want to crush on a 15-year-old, 60-year-old lady.
You know what I mean.
But, yeah.
But you get what I'm saying. So on the list I had Motown, Philly, Time of Your Life, Iris.
Goo Goo Dolls. I've seen them live. They're trash.
Really?
But I like their studio stuff.
Fair enough. Matchbox 20 also.
Trash.
Wonderwall. Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Oh, yeah.
So that's one thing I looked back through. I actually had Elton John King. Like almost.
Is that Lion King?
Yeah. Can You Feel the Love Tonight? Everlong, No Rain, Basket Case, Good Riddance, which Time of Your Life. Hey Jealousy, Gin Blossoms.
Yeah.
Mr. Jones, Counting Crows. Anything. Yeah. I put anything Hootie and anything Blues Travelers.
Let me ask you this. Post Malone did the redo of Hootie and the Blowfish. Did you hear it?
No.
Okay, I'll play it for you after this episode. Okay. And I want to know your opinion. I myself think it's great.
Well, you remember that set he did not too long ago where he played some country music? I think he played like Johnny Cash.
Listen, man.
And everybody's like, okay, I need a Post Malone country album now.
Listen, man. Post Malone not rapping, he's a genius.
Really?
When he starts rapping, I'm out. When he starts playing his guitar acoustic and actually singing, mm-hmm. I'm super in. I'm super in.
I do. That's, you know, that's another episode.
Yeah.
Artist who changed genres.
Oh, yeah.
Like Darius Rucker.
Aaron going Lewis. Going
from Hootie to country.
Yeah. Aaron Lewis went from Stained to country.
The Eagles going from rock to country.
Yeah. That's a good episode. But, man, so much good music. 90s music just, that's my go-to.
Here's... To your point, one of your points you made in one of the very first episodes we said, and I absolutely love it, and I'll never forget it, was one of the things you said about why you love music so much, is that there's something
for everybody.
The 90s is a decade where there is something for everybody.
Literally something for, like, even if the 90s is not the era that you grew up in,
you will find something.
Absolutely. My dad did. My dad was just like me. He loved music, and he's finding all kinds of. He found Soundgarden, before I did, and loved it. But yeah, there's something for everybody. Even if, like my mom, if you're into the talk radio and podcast, there's still music out there for you. She's a big old Journey fan. She loves disco, so it's weird, man. It's super weird. Music, music is just weird to me, you know.
It's generational.
It's generational. And it's something that, like, it's something I crave. Like, when I'm at work, like, I'll get to working, and I'll literally, like, stop what I'm doing.
Got to put something on.
To put my headphones in or to start my Spotify up on my laptop or whatever, so now I can work. And then, like, I share an office with one of the bosses. Mm-hmm. And so I'll put my music on and I'll hear her singing it.
Yeah.
You know, but another one we forgot is Weezer started in the 90s.
True.
Eminem started in the 90s.
Very true.
And transitioned into the 2000s. I don't know, man. It's wild.
Homework. What homework do you got for him?
I don't necessarily have any homework. I guess we can just go straight into what to listen to. I'll start.
Go for it.
Let me pull up some playlists and get some ideas. One band I definitely want everybody to go listen to is Young the Giant. It's one of my favorite bands there.
Candlebox, too.
Nah, you don't have to listen to Candlebox. Candlebox is like a, it's an acquired taste, I feel like.
Fair enough.
But it's definitely one of those guys and bands that were a graduate of the Eddie Vedder School of Singing. You know, he kind of, you know, them. There was another band. Man, we forgot about the Toadies. That's disrespectful. But anyways, Young the Giant, definitely go check them out. I've got a band that I like that's called Death Cab for Cutie, and it's like...
I know Death Cab.
And it's acoustic, folk rock, whatever, yeah. You know. But if you go check out his side project, The Postal Service.
Okay.
It's electronica acoustic type stuff.
Really?
Now you're talking about language. It's super weird. And John Mayer put out a new song yesterday.
Go find that.
It's called Last Train Home. Go check it out. So those are my three. Go for it.
My three are going to be... I want people to go... So we talked about artists that cross generation. I want people to pick one artist, whether it be Elton John, Michael Jackson, Journey, CCR, whoever. Find an artist that has multi-generation music.
Yeah.
And listen, find one song from each decade that you like.
That's a good one.
I think Elton would be the easiest for most people. You've got 70s, you got Tiny Dancer in the 70s, 80s. Who's an Elton 80s song? Rocket Man? Or is that 70s?
I couldn't tell you.
Either way, and then you got...
I'm bad with the years.
And then you got Can You Feel the Love Tonight in the 90s.
Yeah.
Right? So there are artists that... If you search multi-decade artist,
right.
Prince is one.
Yeah.
Right? Find an artist that you... Or find an artist you like now and see if they extend back that far. And,
right.
And try to recognize three songs from three different decades.
Counting Crows just put out an album.
There you go. 2020.
So, right. So... Who's your three?
I'm going to say three songs.
Yeah. No, three bands.
Three bands.
You can specify songs if you would like.
I would say easy one to do, Stevie Wonder. Definitely do Stevie Wonder. I know he's got three generations.
Okay.
Elton John, three generations. And... I know you hate them, and I'm going to say it. The Beatles.
I know. So trash, man. I know,
but the Beatles have three decades.
I can't stand them.
I know.
But anyways.
That's more like listen to the differences.
Yeah.
Listen to the differences.
That's fair. The crazy thing is I liked Paul McCartney solo. Mm-hmm. Like when he was with, when he was doing Band on the Run. Is that Paul McCartney?
I think it is. The only thing I know that he did with somebody after the Beatles was he did Ebony and Ivory with Stevie.
Yeah, he did.
I like George Harrison. He had
Paul McCartney and Wings, Band on the Run.
Oh, it was Wings. Okay.
Yeah. Anyways, that's our episode for the day. Generational music. Agree with us, disagree with us. We don't care. Just listen to us. Subscribe, share, do all the things that lets us know that you're listening to us.
And even if you don't like our podcast, show us by hitting the like button so hard that you break your mouse.
Yeah. And then send us a message talking about how bad we are.
Comment that so that it dings the algorithm.
Yeah. Anyways, we'll catch y'all later.
See you guys.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.